So good morning. My name is Paul Haritunian, related to Greg, yes. Here's the family, and guess what? Today is my birthday. Okay? So how about this? So check out this Google, right? When you Google, you know, they've got little things like, you know, this person 40 years ago invented this, or they did this, and they, let's make sure this is in, okay. And they highlight something you take a look at. Well, this is what I picked up this morning. It's a birthday, and look what it says. When you scroll over it, happy birthday, Paul. Is that a little weird? They are tracking us. They know when it's my birthday. So on your birthday, check your Google and see what they're saying. If they say, happy birthday, Hugo, happy birthday, Chris, okay? So that's my birthday. This is the best one I've seen. One of my buddies sent it to me yesterday. However old you are, it's the new 30. So that's exactly, I'm 30. Okay, so as some of you may know, I'm on staff with ESA, and one of the things we do at ESA, our idea, what we do is helping churches help people, okay? And we don't have a big warehouse, or we don't have things that we distribute to people, but what we do is we work through the churches, okay? So if someone has a need, we say, go to First Armenian Presbyterian, you live near there, and they come to the church and they build a relationship. People call into our clearinghouse and we're able to set them to a different church in the city. Isn't that cool? So we partner with the churches in the city. And so one of our main things is collaboration between the churches. It's not just the Baptists or the Presbyterians or People's Church or First Armenian Press, all the churches in the city working together for the good of the city. Amen? Good. That's what I do. That's what I work. So most times I speak, I like to start with this verse, okay? Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. So I don't know today which one of you the Lord is going to speak to, or to me, or to all of us. But one thing we do know is, the Lord is present and the Lord is on the move. Amen? So let me pray and just ask the Lord. So Lord Jesus, today I just ask you would speak to me, you would speak through me, and you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, title of today's sermon is Something is Missing. So one of the things I struggle with is when the reality of my Christian life, or what I think to be true, or what I know to be true, is not actually happening around me. Anybody struggle with things like that? So, we all know Jesus is the what? The way, the truth, and the life. But why aren't more people coming to Jesus? I struggle. I love to share the good news with people. I'm not seeing that many people around me come to Jesus. That frustrates me. If the church is the hope of the world, at ESA, I work with a lot of churches. Do you realize, I can say this honestly, every church is screwed up. Sometimes we think it's just our church or that church or that. Every church has struggles going on, and the things I hear from the different churches, it's incredible. But the church is the hope of the world. How about Christian fellowship? Don't you love getting together with other Christians? Who drives you the most crazy? Christians, other Christians too, right? You know, so, and then this was question was asked to my boss, that in the city, we have great unity. We work together. We've got a lot of good churches in the city. People ask me about good churches. I can name off a number of good churches. But if we have so many good churches and we have such great unity, why do we have so many problems in our valley? Right? We got to, you know, we have to honestly ask ourselves some of these questions. So, I was talking to a friend last night. We were at a party talking to him. I knew his story from before, but he was talking about his son. He had has four kids, and he raised all of them the same way, right? Go to church, the same. One of them, his son, got into drugs in middle school. And they saw the train wreck coming, but there was nothing they could do. They felt helpless. I was on the phone with a pastor friend. I was asking about something else. All of a sudden, he just starts pouring out his heart to me. And I was like almost in tears. I'm like, wow. My neighbor Terry, we moved to Clovis. Some of you have heard this story, but we moved to Clovis a few years back. And, you know, great house, great lawn. My wife lets me, hey, Paul, somebody cut our lawn. Somebody cut our lawn. Well, I tracked him down. It was Terry. And I'm like, Terry, thank you so much. He lived across the street. Thanks so much for cutting our lawn. Invited him to church a few times. He came once, different church we're going to. And finally, my wife says to me, why don't you stop inviting him to church and just go spend some time with him? So here, my wife was out of town, went over there, made some tri-tip. It was having a great time there. Well, toward the end of Terry's stay right there, he moved out. And I mean, he was so close to making, you know, we would talk about things. I'm saying, Terry, when are you going to come to Jesus? Are you ready? Nah, not yet, not yet. I go, you're screwing your life up. Police were over like almost every week at his place. And I'm like, Terry, you are a knucklehead. You're a great guy, but you're a knucklehead. He goes, yeah, I know, I know. And so we were just so close. He moved out of the neighborhood. A month later, he was dead. And I was like, I was just bummed out. Like, you know, I thought we did as much as I could, but that's not the way it's supposed to be, right? And some people said, well, Paul, you don't know what happened. Maybe he's in heaven. Maybe, yeah, I know all that. But it's like, that's not the expected outcome. What do we want to see? We want to see Terry's life change, get radically saved, and turn to Jesus. Amen? So, this is not the way. Something seems wrong. Can you relate to that? Is there any area in your life that you want to see breakthrough? And if we're being honest, right, we're supposed to be honest here, right? Kind of honest. It reminds me a little bit, I asked my wife if I could share this. We were we're doing goals at the beginning of the year, and we're like, okay, finance, okay, we got to work on our finances. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, let's plan out, let me see. Physical thing, okay, let's work on our physical health, you know, goals there, okay. Let me see what else, marriage. Oh, we're good on that, okay? And she says, no, not so fast. I don't think so. We need to work on this. We do? So, you know, the next week we fix that. So we're all good in our marriage now, and it's so we're good to go on that. But just the areas, right, that we want to see breakthrough that we're not seeing the breakthrough we want to see. Amen? So here's what we love. That something has been welling up inside of me that is passionate about my heart today, that is starting to give me a hope to say, you know what? I think I'm starting to get it. I think I see what is missing. I think I see what can give us victory. Want to know what it is? Me too. So here we go. Okay. Where do we always go, right? You got to go to the scriptures. This is what we love. We've got the scriptures. These are not my great ideas. This is not, let's see what we got today. This is, let's go to the scriptures. All right, let's see what Jesus says. So here we are in Mark. This is Mark chapter 9. And guess what? We get to read some scripture here. When they came to this is Mark 9, the disciples, a little bit of context, disciples, three of them, Peter, James, and John, were just up the mountain with Jesus. They saw him transfigured. He's glorious. They're amazed. They come down the mountain. As they come down the mountain, here's the scene. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? Jesus asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Okay, take a moment and just look at that. From this passage, what jumps out to you? And there's a lot of different things that jump out, but what jumps out at you? Let's make this a little interactive. Give me some thoughts. What stands out? They're arguing, okay? One of the things I find is that sometimes when you don't have the answers, what's it easy to do? Argue. What do you think they might have been arguing about? So the teachers of the law are arguing with the disciples. Yeah, maybe they're arguing with like, hey, you guys are supposed to be with Jesus. You're supposed to be doing the works of Jesus. How come you can't do this? And what do you think the disciples are saying? Well, making excuses or who knows what, you know? Yeah, they're arguing. What else stands out? Disappointment. Yeah. Here's the Father. Where does the Father come for answers? To the right place, right? Where do you come for answers? Come to disciples, let's come to church. That's where the answer is. And what do this, what's the answer of the disciple? What's the outcome? We could not. Oh my goodness. So yeah. So the first thing, if you got some notes in the back on your in your bulletin there, I got a few notes here, simple notes here, but you just want to write down a few things here. The first thing that we have to do if we want to find out what's missing, if we want to move forward, is admit there's a problem, right? One of the things that frustrates me sometimes is, sometimes as Christians, I think we deny reality. No, it all gets great. Everything's super. Everything's, you know what? There's revival going on in America. Really? There's revival going on in America? I look around, I don't see revival. How many of you see revival in America? I don't see it. Maybe revival overseas, but we've got to be honest and say, we've got some problems. We've got some big problems, and it's not just out there. In the church, we've got a lot of, so we got to first admit there's a problem. And one of them is, as Eddie mentioned, powerlessness. I want to see the power of God released. So here's some other things stood out. Okay, there's arguing going on. You mentioned that. They're overwhelmed when they see Jesus, a spirit there. Okay, we asked your disciples. They could not. Okay, and that to me is sad. Okay. Because our society is desperate for the power of God. You know, one of the things, this is a few years back, but remember after 9/11? What happened to church attendance after 9/11? It skyrocketed. The Sunday after 9/11, church was packed. And guess what about 6 months later? The same as before. How is that? If we have the way and the truth and the life here, if we have joy in Jesus, if Jesus is the answer, if the power of God is present, what happened to all those people that were coming, right? My goodness. When I was working with the youth, one of them wrote this card I thought was really great. I'm not close to God, but what? I want to be. Do you know people are actually open to the things of God? What are they not open to? Hypocrisy, phoniness, the same old, same old. They want their, and that's one advantage of the younger generation. The younger generation is saying to us, we're not buying the old stuff. Like, we used to go to church because we're supposed to go to church. Now, we want to go to church because we want to go to church, and we're actually seeing something happen in church. We're seeing life change, right? So actually, I think that's a good thing. It's a little hard, but we want the real deal here, amen? That's what I want, the real deal. I want the real deal. Here's a quote I got from someone in China when they came here, one of the Christians in China. When he got back, when he said, when you got back to China, what impressed you most about America? The great things Americans can accomplish without God. I've seen things where we say, hey, you know what? We're bringing a baseball player to church, and he's going to throw fastballs down the center aisle, okay? Bring your friends. You know what? if we can pack FAPC out and get 300 people here, I'll shave my head. You know what that's called? That's called the flesh. That's called doing things the way the world does it. What do we want to see? We want to see people say, I went to church and I sensed the presence of God. I went to church and I received forgiveness. I had such a heaviness for the things I've done in my past. I went to church and somebody noticed me. And they cared for me. And it was real. That's what'll bring people to church. That's what brought me to church. Someone cared about me. So that's what we want to see. Can you relate? Of course we can relate to that, right? So, all right. Here's our second part. Unbelieving generation, Jesus says. So here's part of the answer. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. It's like, where are we bringing the boy? Disciples couldn't quite cut it. Bring the boy to me. They brought him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, says Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Don't you love the honesty there? Help my unbelief there. So what strikes you here? Say it again. Unbelieving generation, okay? And who do you think that unbelieving generation is referring to here? Partly, I would say, the disciples, right? Guys, come on, how come you couldn't handle this? But also, we see it's also referring to the guy, right? What's the guy admitting? I do believe, kind of, sort of, help my unbelief. I like that honest there, good. What else stands out to you from the passage? More to believe in, more than what they were doing before. Yeah. Yeah, because here's a verse I really like right here, and this may be for some of you. Everything is possible for him who believes. Some of you may need to grab onto that. That is a statement of truth, and that's a statement of faith. That may be the verse for you this morning. So, our next part, you want to fill it in, is when, number two, we need to acknowledge our need of Jesus, and we need to see our two enemies, Satan and unbelief. Okay, Satan and unbelief. So we saw some of those things right there. Evil spirits don't like Jesus, right? You see their response, okay? And what are the evil spirits trying to do to us? Here's the deal. You do not want to mess around with Satan. He gives an appearance that there's some great things ahead, but it's always going to end in death. And whenever we sin, we know, right? Why did I go over there? What a waste, and you got to walk back out of that. Satan is trying to kill us. He's trying to kill us, all right? And when the spirits see Jesus, they don't mess around, okay? So here's our verse that I think for some of you we mentioned. How do we increase our faith? Believe in Jesus. Grab a hold of this, okay? Here's our third part, okay? When Jesus saw a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit, right? Jesus has power, right? You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. And the marginal note in the text adds in, and fasting. So from a very early time, prayer and then fasting was related to it. Okay? So, what strikes you from this part? The last part of the passage here. What do you like about this? Say it again, Chris. He's trying to avoid it. Isn't that great? Yeah, when Jesus sees a crowd coming, let's take care of this quick. Okay, good. He's not there to make a do a crowd showing. What else stands out? Wow, nice. I didn't catch that. Never enter. That's good. When Jesus takes care of business, never again. Good. Anybody else? What stands out? Yell it out. We have good. We're going to get to that. That's good. We have the power through Jesus. This is one of the few passages where we actually get a debrief time. A debrief time afterward, right? They're going in privately and they're like, how come we couldn't do it? And Jesus gives the answer. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, what's an interesting question that you may want to ask yourselves? This is chapter 9. What happened in chapter 6 of Mark? Jesus gave them authority to what? Cast out demons, minister in his name. The disciples went out and cast out demons and ministered in his name. So what's going on here? Two words I like. This kind. What does this kind imply? There's multiple kinds. There's different kinds. Okay? What kind was this one? Yeah. And I think a lot of the things we're facing today are what? This kind. This kind. One of the cool things about that first story I was telling you about the father, his son was on the edge, just out of high school, and basically had the choice, you go to prison or you go to Teen Challenge. He thought about it, he said, all right, I'll go to Teen Challenge. Went to Teen Challenge in Bakersfield. He was getting into fights, not having a good time. He's going out there and he says, God, you know, why don't you just leave me alone? And he senses a little small voice say back to him, I'll leave you alone when your mother leaves me alone. He went back in there. He gave it 2 weeks. Met another guy that was in there rehabbing. He came to Christ, and he is living clean now. Isn't that what we're talking about? I'll leave you alone when your mother leaves me alone. So, what does that say? Some of us need to get on it, right? And we need to be encouraged that we can make a difference. Okay, let me buzz through some of these. So, here's our last part here. This is what I want to hit on right here. You can make a difference if you act with prayer and fasting. This is the secret I want to encourage you on this morning, is prayer and fasting. Okay? We couldn't drive out right this kind. We talked about that. Okay. This book recently has captured me. It's just a little thing. We'll be talking more about it hopefully in the future. But one pastor in Nashville has mobilized 400 churches to pray and fast, 40,000 Christians to pray and fast for everybody in Nashville. At first, I thought it was kind of a fad, but then I ran across. So one pastor did this. This is what I ran across, this quote. They were in Africa, and he's wondering, why is it so many big things are happening in Africa and so many little things are happening in our church, in his church there? And this is what the gal said. Dave and Sydney, his name's Dave, much of what you see here is the simple result of prayer and fasting. We consistently practice the communal act of self-denial fasting so we will have the strength and clarity that's needed to live faithfully for Jesus in a culture that's obsessed with what? Self-gratification. Okay? And guess what? We've got some of that going on in Fresno. Do you know we had 21 days of prayer and fasting with different churches here in Fresno? And do you know that 21 different churches had, you know what one of those churches was? First Armenian Press. The first night we were here. And Caleb is right there, right? That's Caleb. Okay, right? Look at our, the sanctuary was filled with people from all over our city here. Isn't that awesome? Our church was a part of that. Okay, so prayer and fasting. Okay, this is what I'm encouraging you on fasting, okay? Fasting is basically saying, I'm going to give up a little something so that I can have more of a presence, more of a heart attitude to seek the Lord. And I can honestly tell you, as I think about it, that every major spiritual breakthrough in my life has been a result of prayer and fasting. Do I understand it? No. Do I like fasting? No. How many of you want more of the Lord in your life? How many of you need some breakthrough in your life? I do. I've told some of you this story, but this changed my ministry at Pilgrim. When I was at Pilgrim, and I got permission from the guys, most of you have heard some of this, but when I was at Pilgrim, I was in charge of college, high school, middle school. John L. was over here, Greg was over here, Chad was over. So we're, you know, trying to do stuff. And outside my office, the guys were smoking cigars. And I'm like, really, Lord? Is this what I came back to Fresno for? Was the youth, the college guys, smoking cigars? Again, I'm not saying anything necessarily wrong with smoking cigars, but you know what? I wanted to see more, okay? Would they seek Jesus? And so I said, you know what? I'm going to press in with fasting. So I doubled my efforts on fasting. A month later, I got a phone call from Ara Carmanian. He said, Paul, I got a question for you. I said, yeah. He said, would you disciple me? I said, yeah, I would. And right there is when things broke. That was in 97, 98. I'm having lunch with Ara on Tuesday. He's walking with Jesus. The next day, Greg Kasabian comes walking in the office. He says, I don't know why I'm here. I just want to get closer to God. And so I had to come back to the old youth director's office, Calvin's office. I said, Greg, glad you came. We're starting up a Bible study. You, me, Ara, I grabbed some more guys. And that's when things broke. That's the result of prayer and fasting. Before Kim and my first date, before we went out, one of the guys said to me, Paul, you have so screwed up your life and your relationships. Why don't you fast before your first date with Kim? I'm like, that's a pretty good idea. So we fasted before our first date. And look at the result. Look at the result. But fasting, that's right. Fasting, she gets it. Fasting is the secret result, okay? Here's one of the things I've done recently. I don't know if I talked to you about, you know, abortion has been in the highlight, it's been in the news, right? In New York, they're celebrating it at the Empire State Building. Kim and I went and saw the Gosnell movie, and I'm like, you know what? I am not okay with this. I am pro-life, but it's not enough just to be pro-life. It's enough to say, I'm gonna do something about this. So I sat down, and just in my journal, I just started writing down everybody I knew. I've purposely blurred this so you can't see the name. I just wrote down everybody, every pastor I thought, everybody I knew. I'm just gonna write this down. Who is interested in doing something to make abortion something that we want life to be in Fresno, okay? Who can do it? I started praying about it. I started talking to people. Hey, are you interested in this? Is God laying this out? Boom, boom, boom. And guess what? We've started up the Fresno Task Force for Life. Isn't that the main thing on my heart? Turkey is the main thing on my heart. But sometimes God gives us assignments to say, you got to do something. It's time for something to happen. We called some people. I said, hey, this last month, this beginning of this month, I said, okay, we're just going to meet for a couple times just to get some things rolling. They said, no, we want to meet every month. I said, okay. We have 15 of us sitting around the table, Pregnancy Care Center, Right to Life, pastor. It's like people passionate. It's like when the Lord moves on something, stuff happens. Amen? How about some other things where one person can make a difference? How about Sunday school? Look at all those people up front, right? Some of you are in that picture. Praise the Lord. How about VBS? Kim's telling me, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get, 30 people. 48 kids were at VBS. Right on? Men's prayer. Guess what? We're starting to pray at 6 a.m. Maybe we'll get one or two people. Look at who's around the table. There's eight of us. There's Chris leading us in some worship there. We're starting to pray it in. It's at 6 a.m. Do I like getting up at 6 a.m.? No. Mike, you like getting up at 6 a.m.? No. But guess what? We're pressing in because we want to see something happen. Oh my gosh, what's this guy there? I just had to throw a hog up in, right? How about our elders? Our elder, do you know who the elders are? Are you praying for them? Took me a while to get, who are they? Do they need our prayers? Yes, they do need our prayers. Pretty handsome picture right there, huh? Paul especially needs our prayers, right? He's getting married, right? But we've got to pray, right? And how about, do we need to pray for Greg? For sure, and so is he, right? Mark heading off, but do you realize the pastors, have you seen that Far Side cartoon where the two deer are talking to each other and one of them has a bullseye on his stomach and the other deer says, bummer of a birthmark, Hal, right? It's like pastors have a target on them. You all have a target on you. The devil is not happy with you as you start to go after Jesus. How about the new youth guy? Does Stephen need, Stephen, you need any prayer? Does he need prayer and fasting? Yes, he does. Okay, so here's a chat. Can one person, that's my sister right there. She's with Ali and her, my sister went to Turkey in 1984. We thought she was crazy. What are you doing going to Turkey? As a result of her going to Turkey, I went to Turkey in 87 and 88. Now, we've got Turkish reconciliation going on. One person can make a difference. One person can do something, okay? And guess who that person can be? Each one of us, each one of us. But guess what? It's gonna take some pressing in. It's not going to happen by, maybe I'll get out of bed this morning, maybe I'll come to church. That fasting, that's a little extreme, isn't it? Yeah, it is extreme. Kim and I are saying, you know what? We're going to skip a meal once a week and pray for First Armenian Press. How many of you think First Armenian Press needs prayer? How many of you think you need prayer? How many of you think I need prayer? Everybody. We all need prayer, but here's the thing I'm starting to see. This is a partnership with the Lord, and he's inviting us to say, come closer. And the secret I have found is prayer along with fasting. And so I would just challenge you to join Kim and I. If you want to know more about it, talk to me about it. But if you need breakthrough with your kids, if you need breakthrough in your marriage, if you need breakthrough at your job, with your life, with situations, with your future, let's press in with prayer and fasting. Amen? Okay. How about you stand? And before I give the benediction, I just want you to be silent for a moment and just let the Lord maybe speak to you. Here's our last slide here. You always want to end with, let me see if I can get our last slide there. Thanks, Brandon. It's always got to be personal with application, okay? It doesn't really matter what I do. It doesn't matter what Hagop or Jason or someone else. It's like, what does the Lord want you to do? What does the Lord want you to do? Is he speaking to you about something? So let's just close our eyes a moment. Let's close our eyes a moment and just, what is God asking you to press in on, okay? I'm just going to wait a moment just in silence, and you just let the Lord impress something upon your heart. So, Father, in the words of Jesus, he says, this kind can only come out by prayer, and the marginal note adds in, and fasting. So, Father, I just pray for each one of us that you would speak to our hearts, you would show us what areas in our life we need to press in, so that one thing we're seeking after is you. With prayer. In Jesus' name I pray, and I bless us all to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Amen.